Hear that? Believe it or not, summer is just around the corner. Luckily, Armor All, America's most trusted auto appearance brand, has what your car needs to get that perfect summer shine. Plus, now through May 31st, we'll give you $5 for every $20 you spend on Armor All products. That means car wash pods, protectant, tire shine, you name it. Find out how to get your $5 rebate at ArmorAll.com. Armor All. Less work, more clean. Terms apply.
What does motion sound like? With Kizikans free shoes, it sounds a little something like this. Experience the magic of motion. Get a free pair of socks with your first order at kizik.com/socks.
What is going on, Diesel Nation? We're excited to have you guys with us today on the Diesel Podcast. If you're watching this on YouTube and aren't subscribed, make sure and click the subscribe button, like, comment, and let us know something about the episode. If there's a particular question, guest, or topic you'd like to have on, we're always checking your feedback on there and love to be able to take your suggestions and then work them into future episodes. Today, I'm going to be joined by Hellwig Products. Melanie's going to be chatting with me about the company's history, how it started, helper springs, sway bars, and also some challenges that the industry is going to have as different types of vehicles are going to be hitting the road. So it's definitely going to be an interesting conversation to chat with her about the company, about that, also SEMA as well. There's a lot of involvement that Hellwig has in SEMA and the aftermarket, so we're definitely looking forward to it. Before we get to it, though, I want to give a shout out to one of our sponsors, which is DMAX Store. Earlier in the year, I did a podcast with the guys over there, and it was really insightful to chat with them about LB7 to L5P trucks, everything in between, and ask about common issues or failures that they can have, and then ways you can fix them, whether it's just for maintenance, upgrades that you can do. So if you own a Duramax looking to make sure that it can run the best that it can, definitely make sure and head on over to DMAXStore.com. Check them out. If you have questions about building your truck, upgrades you should do, they'd love to talk Duramaxes, so definitely send them a message, give them a call. They'd be glad to help you. All right, let's get to today's podcast with Hellwig, talking about helper springs, sway bars, towing, SEMA, and some challenges that the suspension industry is going to have moving forward. Melanie, welcome to the Diesel Podcast. I'm looking forward to chatting with you today, learning more about Hellwig, the story, the products. I was really looking forward to chatting with you guys. We had a listener that messaged in and said, hey, I'd like to know more about these different products that they have. I'm towing. I'm looking for ways to better, you know, handle my trailer and stuff. So welcome to the Diesel Podcast and definitely look forward to chatting with you.
Awesome. I'm so excited to be here. Thank you.
I love the story of companies. I think because they're so relatable for a lot of us, where we, either started a business ourselves, or a family did, or a friend, and we know what they go through to build something up. And I've always thought of Hellwig as this, they're just a company that has been around forever. Like, I've always known about them and the things that they did. But how did the company start? I think you guys have a really interesting history, and I wanted to make sure that we started with that part.
Yeah, I'm happy to talk about that. So my great-grandfather and grandfather started the business in 1946. So they had the idea for building helper springs before, but the war was going on. So they didn't have steel available. You know, it's so interesting when you think about that time frame, because you're like, oh, those things like were really limitations, right? And so it was a limitation for them. Finally, they were able to start making helper springs, and they did this at night in their garage. And then they would go sell door to door. And I mentioned war too, because if you find our original springs, they bought surplus army green paint, and our original helper springs were dipped in army green paint. we still have some in our office. So I love that part too. But they would go sell door to door. So my great grandfather would knock on the door and say, you have a sagging vehicle, we can fix it. And my grandpa, who was a senior in high school, would lay on his back in the driveway and would install the helper spring for $7. Wow. So, you know, it's really obvious when someone needs Hellwig, and definitely like a helper spring, right? Because you have a saggy rear end. And so sales during that time were easy, and everything was a passenger car. So everything had the same spring. It was easy, very universal, and also a lot cheaper. We definitely have a different distribution model right now, and also a different price point.
What's really interesting too is to think about the history of the automobile and the enthusiast in, after World War II, how it grew. And then when trucks really started to become, I'd say, more of a mainstay in American culture, mm-hmm. what was the growth like or the changes to be able to accommodate, you know, going from cars to trucks, and then we have, you know, the 70s and 80s and all the way to where we're at now. It just seems like it's changed so much.
So much, right? So we have a lot of the earlier pictures that you'll look and you'll see just all of it is passenger cars. They were all leaf sprung. And I remember talking to my grandpa a few years ago, and he was talking about, you know, the many times that when you start a business, right? Like there's many times when you're like, holy heck, like what's next in our company? And one of the holy hecks was when passenger cars went from leaf spring to coils. There weren't a ton of trucks around at that time either, but it was really interesting, like that transition from coil from away from leaf springs and passenger cars was also the transition time into truck. And so we were able to like glide our way into that market, but it wasn't really strong. And so there was this fear around, are we going to have our, like, what are we going to put our products on? We want to put our products, we want to help people, but we need a vehicle to do that with. And so trucks really became a mainstay. I was at a car show, gosh, it was probably like 5 years ago, but it was one of our early helper springs were on their old pickup. And the pickup was like one of the first models. It was a really cool experience to see our product on and like in that transition phase, right?
Right, right. That's so cool. And I think of vehicles in 2023 or even the last 5 years and how much the market has changed. I had a podcast with somebody and we were talking. He was saying, you know, diesel trucks used to be used for a construction or a specific purpose, whereas now we're using them as daily commuters. And I imagine there's so many challenges or wants that truck owners would like their trucks to be able to do. When we look at the current catalog and the options that you guys have, what have your customers told you guys that they want for their trucks? And then how do you help them get that?
Yeah. So, I mean, everyone wants a more stable ride, right? Whatever it is. So definitely more sway control. They don't want saggy rear ends. We can help with all of that. And we're seeing, it's interesting, you know, we're talking about the passenger car and the change to trucks. We're also seeing trucks go to coil sprung vehicles. And I was actually just on the phone with someone earlier who was telling me he put a camper in, with his coil rear sprung vehicle. He's like, I love this truck for my commuter. I love it. But when I had that extra weight in, I was all over the place and scared to death, right? You're like holding on with your white knuckles, like gripping it. He was like, I was there. It was so scary. I need your stuff. He's been someone I've done trade shows with forever. So it's funny to, you know, he knows the solution for it, but he didn't need it because it rides nice. It doesn't ride nice though when you have all the extra weight in it.
Right, right. That makes a lot of sense because I think when I think of newer vehicles, they're so advanced. They're so nice to drive. And when they're unloaded, they just handle the road well. But when we're buying a 3/4 1-ton truck, it's usually to tow something, haul something. Is that where the weaknesses in modern setups can show themselves, is under those kind of heavier use applications?
You know, it's a lot of them, right? It's just, they're meant, what we're seeing right now with vehicles is that they're meant for daily drivers. And I don't think when they first came out, they weren't typically daily drivers, right? They're commuter vehicles, they're all of that. And so they're creating these vehicles that are like really nice, well sprung, you know, not too over or under vehicles. They're drive nice, but they don't do what they need to do when you tow with it or when you haul something. And so they're making vehicles for a niche, right? And if you want to do anything more, you really do need, like, you need more products to support that, the more that of whatever you're going to do with your vehicle.
I was thinking of, say, if I had my first diesel truck and I bought it because I was going to tow something in the future. So I get it. It drives great. I hook up a trailer and I've heard this podcast. What would I notice about the OEM setup or where I would need improvement with helper springs? Would it be the way that the truck sits? Would it be how it handles on the road, maybe turning? What are some things people should look out for and know, hey, I can fix this. I don't have to just live with the manners of the vehicle.
I mean, we definitely have a no saggy bottoms policy. It's why my grandpa and great grandpa like went around to neighborhoods back in the day. And so it just kills me when I'm driving, right? Like down the road and I see someone going down the road with their lights up in the air and their back end sagging. And I'm like, we can fix that. and that is right. Like when the thing behind that though, when you're doing all of that, like all of your weight is in the back, you're breaking your axle, like the bearings, like everything is like in one area and it's not meant to be, right? It's meant to be spread out. So when you have your lights pointing up in the air, it's really not a safe vehicle. It's not as safe to drive as it is meant to be when it's level load. So that's really like my passion behind it too, right? I'm like, oh, you could be so much safer. You could have this better experience. You're also, so that's the helper spring. It's really obvious. You're sagging. We can fix that. The sway bars and what we do too, it is a little bit different. That's a very like you have to feel it. And I always feel like it's like that. Someone once explained it. It was a woman. She was like, I finally feel like I have a rear end on my vehicle. Because you, when you don't feel right, it's like kind of wiggly and wonky in the back. You don't feel like it's like there to support you all the time. And that's really what our sway bars do. They really help you like feel level, confident, and keep your vehicle balanced.
That makes a lot of sense. I've ridden in vehicles that feel like that, or driven some myself, where it just, you feel a little bit of that shift back and forth under different conditions. And it's just, you're not inspired with confidence when you feel that.
No. And you're like holding on to the like steering wheel with white knuckles, and you don't want like any sort of like windstorm or quick maneuver that you have to do. Right. I was coming down the Grapevine, which is a big grade here in California. And I saw there's a big old cab over camper, and it's just all wiggly on the back end. And all I could think about is what that feels like in that driver's seat. And I wanted, like, this is, we had a team member that wanted us to be able to have like billboard messages that show up on your vehicle. And I wanted to like share, like, hey, we could fix that for you. This feeling that is not fun right now, we can fix this. So in that moment, I really wanted to be able to get that message across, because it's not fun.
I was on the Helwig website, and there were so many choices, which I thought was really cool based on what people might want to do with the helper springs that they could pick. Can we go through what some of those options could be for people?
Yeah, for sure. So we have anything up to a 550, which is 500 level load help, or go all the way up to 3,500. Which are very different vehicles, right? The 550, we have 550, Easy 990, a lot in that range that are in the like midsize truck. And so you're going to get, that'll definitely help with the sag and the rear end. And then you can get into like our really new model here, which is the silent support system. There's one of the complaints with helper springs is that if there's steel on steel, it can make noise. You go over railroad tracks, it could potentially make noise. We have an application that there's no steel on steel, so it protects from that. And so we call it the silent support system. And that is 2,500 pounds, level load capacity, all in one kit. And then we get into the big Load Pro series, which is the 2,500 and the 3,500. And those are really like, if you're going to tow and haul and you're going to keep it on most of the time, that's what I'd recommend. It's a lot of extra steel for the vehicle, but it really does help keep that like positive arch in the spring. I mean, all of the helper springs do that. So they help with the longevity of the spring because they help keep that positive arch. I mean, you just think about like the more weight you're adding, the more pressure, it's just going to sag and kind of flatten out over time. So helper springs really help keep that positive arch, help you with the load, help level out your lights, like all of the things, keep your load level.
Now for the products themselves, like a lot of our listeners, they kind of break into a third of them own GM Duramaxes, a third of them own Ford Powerstrokes, a third of them, you know, own Ram trucks. With the product line, do you guys offer them for each different model of truck in different year ranges, or you know, what, you know, if somebody's got an older truck, kind of maybe one 5 to 10 years old or something newer, can they find products to help fix their trucks?
Yep. Yes to all of that. Yes, we do have a wide array in our catalog. So we go back pretty far. You know, we don't go back all the way to 1946 anymore in our catalog, but we definitely have some 50s in there. So we have the earlier model trucks, later model trucks. You know, we do have quite an array of vehicles, and it's not a universal fit. It really is a custom fit. And what we even saw is that, you know, some like maybe Chevy one year had a 2.5-inch wide spring, and then the next year they have a 3-inch wide. So we sometimes they switched it in the middle of the year on us. You know, sometimes we're asking like, hey, we know that in this year model, they might have changed it. You might need to just go like take them a tape measure. Do you have 2.5 or 3-inch, you know, when you're ordering? So sometimes in those earlier model ones, we do have to like ask folks to be a little bit more play a part in helping select their vehicle. I think the one that even makes a bigger difference is sway bars. So sway bars are definitely vehicle specific. I mean, they might, OEs might change a brake line and where it runs, and that changes our bracketry, right? So it very much matters for sway bars, where they go. And a lot of trucks, it's so surprising to me, but a lot of trucks don't come with rear sway bars, and it makes such a huge difference. I love to take my corners a little bit too fast, especially when I'm getting on the highway, right? And anytime I'm driving without a rear sway bar, it reminds me like, oh yeah, I really love driving every day with one, because it just helps you, like, you know, manage that turn really well. And most trucks don't come with them. So it's either like a very small few, the Super Duty. I mean, I can bend it myself. And I'm not that big of a person to be able to like really like manipulate it. And ours is like heavy, beefy. And so you just think about like having even like a little one will make a difference, but like nothing, there's a lot of room for improvement there.
It's really interesting you mentioned the sway bar, because the first time I heard of Hellwig, it was years ago, and I was at a truck event and I saw a truck I really liked. It was done really well, and I know that model didn't come with a sway bar, and I saw one, and it started a conversation between me and the truck owner, and that's when he had mentioned it and the difference that it made. And it was just so cool to hear why he chose it, you know, as part of his build, why he liked it. And always stayed in the back of my mind. So when we had our listeners say, hey, can you get Hellwig on the podcast and chat with them? I thought I get to ask them the questions that I did to that truck owner a long time ago. One of the huge things with truck enthusiasts is they like to work on trucks themselves. And I wanted to ask you about the install of both the helper springs and the sway bars. How difficult are they? Is it something that somebody could tackle themselves, or is it better left to a shop, or maybe does it vary a little bit based on the truck?
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed, also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to keepitfunohio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Yeah, so helper springs, 100%. It's a DIY if you want, right? I realized like when my husband and all his buddies, you know, they would do all of the things to their dirt bikes, like change the oil, filters, all the things. And then they hit a certain age and they're like, I'm going to take this to the shop. And I'm like, you guys used to like hang out in the garage and do this. So there's a certain point where, yes, It is also a do it for me product. I think if it's an age thing, right?
Oh, I hit that age.
It definitely is something that you could do still in your driveway and with simple hand tools too. I would say for the sway bars, it just gets a little tricky when you're mounting one side. Sometimes you just need to like figure out ways to get the other side up if you were wanting to do it yourself, or have a buddy go help you, like just hold it up during that time, right? When you're mounting the other side. So that's the only like little trick there. But helper springs 100%. Like, you know, we used to have a joke, like our helper springs are so easy, even a salesperson could install them. So, you know, I've done like a video on it. And I have installed them myself too. So it's definitely something, a DIY. And I bet your audience is very handy. So that type of audience is 100% can install our products.
There's so much great information on your website. And so like I encourage people to definitely head on over. It's HelwigProducts.com. They can find products specific for their trucks, find more information. And one of the huge things when I was just wanting to learn more about the company that I saw, and I wanted to chat with you about this aspect of it, is the involvement with SEMA. And a reason I think that's so important is because companies that are involved in the industry and wanting it to grow, whether it's with competitors or companies that make something completely different, I think wanting to see the aftermarket be successful and grow is so important. So I wanted to ask you about Helwig's involvement with SEMA from the start and up to current, the things you guys are working on, have worked on, and you know, the passion that you guys have for the aftermarket.
Yeah, so we have our company was at the first show. So when the SEMA show was in Dodger Stadium, we had a booth there. So, you know, you'll see Helwig Products, Edelbrock, like some of those like folks that were at that first show, and Helwig was there. So we've been involved with SEMA for very many years. And I'm now very involved in SEMA. I volunteer quite a bit. For most of my career, I've volunteered within SEMA. And I just fell in love with the industry. I fell in love with, you know, Helwig. And then once I went to my first SEMA show, I was like, heck yes, I'm in. This is amazing. And I want to be a part of this more than just one time a year, right? And I think that's what the volunteer aspect really allowed me to do, was to be involved more. You know, there's such a passionate industry. And I think that's really like the differentiator, right? Is everyone that's there, they're really passionate about vehicles and they love what they do. So that makes it fun too. Right now, so I have volunteered within the light truck organization within SEMA. And now I was sitting on the board of directors. I'm now a chair elect of the SEMA board of directors. So we're pretty involved in SEMA. So in a couple of years, I'll be the chair of the board of SEMA. And it's fun. It's so fun to be in that seat because it is a group of people. I mean, it's fun and it's hard, right? Our industry is definitely seeing some challenges out there. And I think that's the really neat part of it, is this group of people who are very passionate, very knowledgeable, who all want us to succeed and really like protect that right to customize our vehicles. And that really being a part of SEMA and just like wanting to modify your vehicle and have it be your own is like it's an American thing, right? We love to modify our vehicles, and it's not just American, but you know, we're very passionate about it here. And I think that something really fun that we get to do.
It was really interesting for me in my growth in diesel or just in the aftermarket is, a long time ago, I thought SEMA was just a show that was once a year and there would be cool builds and things. And I know it was in Vegas and a lot of companies would go to it, but I didn't understand all the work that went into the industry itself until I had SEMA Garage on a couple years ago. I didn't even know about SEMA Garage. I didn't know that there was an avenue, which is definitely needed for aftermarket companies to be able to do testing and take advantage of the resources that they might not have the ability to do themselves. And with the challenges that are out there in different parts of the aftermarket, it's so incredibly important. And I think the work that's being done and the resources that are there for enthusiasts, shop owners, ultimately it ends up with truck enthusiasts and the parts that you can get and the things that you can do.
Yeah, totally.
It's
really cool because, we have used like part of the SEMA garage. They have a vehicle technology part of the SEMA garage as well. And that, in there was 126 law, all vehicles had to comply within electronic stability control. And so we went through a bunch of testing. We knew our products made vehicles handle better and safer. And we just wanted to be able to have that stamp of approval to be able to, if we ever had any question about that, we'd be able to offer that to our consumers. And the thing that happened in that, it was really fun experience to just see how much of an improvement, right? But it, we got access to testing and minds and people that we wouldn't have normally done. I think that's what's so beautiful about SEMA is that, you know, you, whatever we're doing, you can have that ability to take off your company hat and wear the industry hat. And we, you know, we learn and we're so much better together when we're able to work in that way. And so there's been a lot of stuff that we've been able to do in the past that have really helped us like grow as a company and things that we wouldn't have ever explored without SEMA's help.
So it seems like the networking is also incredibly important as well from a company to company level, being able to test. And I imagine there's a lot of great feedback that you guys provide other companies as well, or, you know, partners that you have in the industry to be able to make a stronger aftermarket, which is, it's such a huge topic in like right now, has been for a few years with different things that are going on, not just in diesel, but hot rods, you know, other vehicles. And the landscape's changing so much. I think as an enthusiast, it's so refreshing to know there's an organization like SEMA that is working towards keeping this passion, this hobby, sometimes the livelihood and the companies in it, alive and prospering with these changes.
Yeah. Yeah, it sounds like you read their mission statement, because that is.
I'm really passionate about it because I hear other stories from the other side where a company might not be able to offer its product because they don't have the testing. And then I hear the personal stories of how that company downsizes. Maybe it doesn't exist anymore. And I think of the personal side and how hard that would be. And I just wasn't aware there was an avenue to get help, testing, validation, to be able to confidently sell products or offer them throughout the country. So I definitely wanted to make sure any listeners we have that, you know, are curious about it or in that position, there is a place to find help. And it does a great job for enthusiasts.
Yeah, it really does. I'm glad you mentioned that.
With, if you were to look towards the future, I always like to ask this question with trucks. I know they change all the time, but what are some challenges you think that Hellweg might have or opportunities in the future as these trucks change so much? Like we talked a bit about how they were all leaf springs and then some of them start to have coilovers. What are some things we should pay attention to as enthusiasts that might change in the future in ways you guys are looking to tackled maybe some of those challenges?
Yeah, that's a great question. We're seeing, right, like with a lot of the different, like going to hybrid or electric, like these vehicles are so much heavier than they've been in the past too. So I think there's a real benefit for us to be able to offer a solution in that space. So, and the weight is different, right? It's not like there's more weight in the front for the Lightning and we only have a front bar. We don't have a rear bar because that's really where we can make the difference. So, you know, we're looking at these chassis and they're not like this like cookie cutter idea, right? So there's a lot happening under the vehicles and with, you know, the electrification happening as well as, you know, getting weight out of the vehicle. You know, there's so much dynamic stuff happening with vehicles right now that we're paying attention to very closely. And there's, you know, yeah, it might be a challenge, but it's also really an opportunity. I think about all challenges and the way that the market changes. Like, we have the safest, the best vehicles that we've ever had before. And, you know, companies like mine and other aftermarket companies, like, make them better too, like, have this ability to make them still drive better, still, like, make those improvements. And I just love, like, this time that we're in. You know, my son is 13 and he's talking about what vehicle he's going to drive next. And I'm like, well, heck no, it's not going to be anything but with airbags. I got one kid. So, but, you know, that wasn't something that we always, like, had that opportunity to, like, think about. But, like, vehicles are just, they're so dynamic right now. I think that's really what we're seeing in the market. I think it's really fun. And at the same time, it's just, there's opportunity for us to support that even more.
That's been the part that has really captured my attention, is with EVs, hybrid technology, other things. I think back to what you mentioned before, which was, we like to customize our vehicles. And in my mind's eye, I can't picture that yet because we haven't really seen it. But how are these new platforms, these new power plants and vehicles, how are we going to personalize them? What's that going to look like? How's it going to be different? And it just has really captured my attention to think, how is that going to change? And then how the aftermarket is going to just be able to give us that, which It's such a huge part of car culture, truck culture, is, you know, there's millions of these vehicles, but how do you make it your own?
I really think we're going to see it here very soon. So a lot of, you know, the early adopters for some of these vehicles are like, this is my pure vehicle, but I'm starting to see a lot of those vehicles get customized, have their own, you know, their own stamp. This represents me, right? In the vehicles. I'm seeing that quite a bit happen. And I can't wait for the SEMA show, because I think it's going to be even more than it has been in the past, right? There's been like more subtle modifications, but I really sense that, like, we're in this turning point where it's going to be a lot crazier than it's been in the past.
That event is, it grabs my attention every year because there's so many cool things that all these companies will showcase. And it gets me excited as an aftermarket enthusiast to see. And then, when's it available? Is it ready to ship now? Or, you know, when can I get it? And so I love to see it. It's like Christmas, you know, there's just so many things that are going on.
Yeah. So I'll get to see you there, right?
I'm trying to make it this year. Hopefully. I know I've been saying that for years, but the podcast has kept me pretty busy. But I've never been to SEMA, and so I want to go.
Yeah. This year they're doing this really cool consumer event, SEMA Fest. So it's really turning the SEMA show, which is a B2B show. There's an aspect where it allows you, like, access to the show, but also, like, music, burnout competitions, like, all kinds of, like, fun stuff. I'm so excited about SEMA Fest as well. And just that, like, consumer ability to, like, engage with SEMA as well. And, like, all of us as enthusiasts. So it should be pretty fun.
Yeah, it's definitely, I'm looking forward to it. Can't wait to see. I know there's so many parts and customization or questions that people have, especially when it comes to towing. I have found that towing is one of the more difficult topics to cover because each trailer is different, the weight, the truck, what people expect. If people have questions for Hellwig, what's the best way to connect with you guys, learn more, ask a question about their truck, and how you guys can help them?
Yeah, our website is a great place. So hellwigproduct.com. We even, when you talk about towing, my dad has been Mark Hellwig is a towing enthusiast. I think he started towing when he was like zero, right? Like, he's like, has it in his blood. But there's some resources on our website too, where it's like the towing checklist, the packing checklist for when you're going to tow something. So we find that very helpful. I should, like, figure out a way to put that up at the top for your listeners too, because it's just, you know, someone who's been doing it for a while. And he just has that really, like, organized thought process too. Maybe you'll get him on board, because he could just He could riff on towing for so long.
I love to talk. I just love to learn. So I'll just sit back and I love to absorb the information because there's so much experience that people gain doing it. And I don't have a ton of experience with it. So I lean on people who know what they're doing and ask questions. Yeah. And it's a really cool aspect to it. It was fantastic to connect with you and learn more about Hellweg, the product line, to hear your passion and excitement for trucks in the aftermarket, and then also SEMA as well. It was really cool to chat with you today. And I know the listener who wanted to have you guys on, he's definitely going to appreciate hearing about your product. So it was a pleasure to chat with you. Thank you for giving me an insight into the company, into the products, into the culture, and then also the incredible work that you're doing with SEMA.
Yeah, thank you. And I'm so excited. I'm a diesel. I've had a diesel Jetta. I've had the first diesel Grand Cherokee. So I'm a huge diesel fan. So I was so excited. I'm like, heck yes, I want to be on. I want to hang out with you. So thank you for having me.
Don't forget, diesel fans, if you own a Duramax, whether it's an LB7 all the way up through an L5P, and you're looking to make sure the truck runs as good as it can, maybe it's time to do some maintenance, head on over to dmaxstore.com. Check out what they have to offer. They've got basically a complete lineup of parts that they found have worked to be able to keep these trucks running, keeping them on the road. And they love to talk Duramax trucks. So if you have questions about upgrades you should do, a build plan, head on over to dmaxstore.com. Check out what they have. Send them a message. Give them a call. They'd love to chat with you. Also want to give a shout out to some of our Patreon supporters, Tyler Lowen at 23 Diesel, J. Cole John, all of our other Patreon supporters, all of you who subscribe on YouTube and podcast apps, follow us on social media. We appreciate all your support here in year 7 of the Diesel Podcast and look forward to bringing you more of the content that you guys want to hear in 2023. Until next time, keep the shiny side up.